A lot of you guys have been to one of our Move Nights of Vision. In fact, I think it's almost 500 of you by now have been through. So some of you guys already know what's going on. A lot of you guys received, hopefully everybody, did anybody not receive one of these packets and you need one? If you would, just flag down one of our ushers and we'll get you one. We tried to get everybody when you came in, but if you still need one, go ahead and lift up your hand. They're ready to give you one. And I'm just going to go through this real quick before we get into it. I'm going to have my wife come and help me because I tried to do this last night. And when you're holding a microphone, you're kind of limited, so to be able to open everything up. And so I'm just going to go through this first thing that you have. If you want to open that up, we're just going to take just a moment because we are in an exciting season as a church. And so I want to make sure that those of you guys who have already been through a Move Vision Night, that you stay well informed. And then there's a lot of us who maybe didn't get to go through that, and so we want you to be informed as well. And so the first thing you'll see here is this Move Initiative Vision Summary. You can skim through that, but you're going to hear a lot more information about that here later on today and in the weeks to come. But this summarizes what's going on and where we're at as a church and the steps we're taking next, and so I want you to be aware of that. A honey stick, you've got a honey stick in there. You'll see later on in this series and the message as to why this comes into play. This is really a touch point of faith for us and just a reminder of what God is doing and where God is taking us. This right here, the next one, I'm going through these fairly quick because I've got some stuff, you know, to preach today too. So this is called our Move Initiative Commitment Card. Here in a few weeks, we're starting a 5-week series today, but here in a few weeks at the end of this series, everybody's going to have an opportunity to participate in what God is doing here at the church, and you'll be able to prayerfully submit one of these commitment cards. On the outside, it just has our primary goal. We want everyone all in. Again, you're going to hear about that here in just a little bit as to why that's so important. And then our initiative goal, which is $3 million. You'll get more details on that here in just a minute as well. On the inside, you have a couple things, momentum in our now and momentum in our next. We believe God is doing something right here and right now, and we want you to be a part of it. We want you to step into it if you aren't already. And then if you are, let's be faithful because we don't want to miss what God is doing now as we're looking forward to what's next. And then you'll see there an opportunity to participate in what is coming next. On the back, I love this. You may have seen these in other, like a fundraising thing or something like that. For us, it's not about needing a certain amount of people to do certain things. This is really a faith exercise for us to look and see where our natural eyes might land and then to take it before the Lord and say, Lord, what would it look like for me to trust you and to go all in with this? And so this is really a faith exercise tool for us as a church. And you're going to hear a lot more about why we need to exercise faith and how to grow in that here in just a moment. And then finally, you'll receive what we call prayer dot cards. And these stickers here are simply an opportunity for you to put these stickers in places that will remind you to pray for what God is doing at our church. And so I've got one on my phone. I've got one on my water bottle. I take it everywhere that I go. I've got one on my bathroom mirror. And so I see these things every day. And so we're inviting every one of us as a church because we believe prayer changes things, right? And so this is just going to be reminders for us. And so we want you guys to have this, take these. And then finally, we have this magnet. And you know, put it on your refrigerator. I don't care if you put magnets on there or not. Put it on there because you're going to need this throughout this series. And you can, in fact, take it right now. Scan the QR code if you want to, even right now. And it'll take you to our freshly made Move page. And don't just think you can go there one time and that's it. Because throughout this series, in fact, tomorrow, we're going to be adding more and more stuff to this page. We're going to be adding videos, we're going to be adding resources, updates, tools on faith and generosity, and tools on how you can walk forward in your own spiritual growth. We're going to be adding all these throughout the series that will actually go along with the messages as we go. And so put this in a prominent place where you can access it easily, and we'll be referring to it throughout the series. So I want you to know where all that is going, and then as we get into it in the message, you'll see how a lot of that comes into play. But how do you guys know? We're in an exciting time as a church in so many ways. And over the next 5 weekends, we're going to learn how to grow in our faith, how to learn to grow in our giving and our generosity. But it's more than that. We're going to learn how to trust God deeper. And we're going to, it's not just about the future of our church. You are going to learn how to grow deeper in your faith and in the purposes of God and the plans of God for your life, for your family, for your marriage. And so I believe it's gonna reignite areas of your faith that have fallen asleep. So anybody ready to get into this? Because I believe we're going somewhere today. All right, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. I love how the Bible just kind of gets to it, right? Like, I don't know if Joshua knew this information yet or not, but either way, God just felt like he needed to state it pretty plainly. Moses is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, the people of Israel. If you know where we're at in the timeline of the story of the people of Israel, you know that a generation has passed since Moses first sent the spies into the promised land. Joshua being one of those spies, Caleb as well. Those were the only two that had the faith to see what God wanted to do. And so a generation has passed now. Joshua has taken the reins. But you think about it, 40 years, a generation. From their perspective, I mean, parents had probably passed on and died. They had already, you know, they'd sent kids off to college if they did that back then. I don't know how it all worked, but they, you know, saved for retirement. I don't know what they did. I'm trying to give you the picture of what it would be like if we were in that situation. I mean, like a whole generation had grown up. They had probably drifted away from the urgency and the idea that the promised land was actually someplace that God had for them. I mean, you get 10 years away from that moment of the Red Sea parting, 20 years away from it, 30 years away from it, 40 years away from it. Most of them had probably got comfortable in their own routine. And then Moses, their leader, who had been their leader ever since they had gone out of Egypt, now he's gone. And that's a scary thing when like the guy or the thing you had kind of been comfortable with or trusted in, who had led you for years and for decades, is now gone. I mean, you guys know it's a scary thing when the things that we have hope in are gone. I mean, the economy, sometimes when you put your faith in that and that starts to go, it's a scary thing. When you look at your bank account and it doesn't look like what you thought, or your relationship or your marriage, and things don't go the way you seemed that they would. That's a scary thing. And here they are, the people of Israel, they're on this transition time, this change time. And can I just tell you that the difference between where you are right now and where God wants to take you is something called change. Right? The difference between where you are and being more spiritually mature is there's going to be change involved. The difference between you being where you are, stuck in your emotional state of immaturity, as some of us can get stuck in a cycle, and being, you know, led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is something called change. Something has to change from where we are to where God wants to take us. And there's so many of us that we want change to happen in our life, we just don't want to change to make change happen. And so what I want us to face today is the reality that so many of us, man, we say we want to grow in God. We say we want, the church to grow. We say we want the masses to come in and get saved and know Jesus, but so many of us don't want to change to make that happen. We like our seat. We like our space. We like our comfort. But if we really, I've talked to so many people who are like praying for revival in this nation. Oh man, we need revival, but I don't want to give up my spot. I don't want to make room for somebody else, right? Listen, the difference between where we are and when revival happens is there's things in our life that has to change. There's things in our practical world that has to change, and we've got to face those things. And so that's what God is confronting the children of Israel with. He's saying, listen, in order for you to go where I want you to go, something's got to change. And then he goes on in verse 3 and he says, every place, I want you to pay very close attention to the words here. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. As I was reading this week, I saw these words stand out to me. And it says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread. Everybody say, will tread. Every place your sole of your foot will tread. Watch this. He says, I have given to you. Everybody say, have given. Will tread, have given, right? Here's the point. There are things that you will have that God has already given. But you just have to access them by faith. Let me say it again. Isn't that strange wording? There's things that you will have that God has already given. God has already given you some things that you don't have yet. He has given these things. You will have them, but the only way to have what God has already given is when you access them by faith. That's what he's telling Joshua and the people of Israel. He's saying, I have given you the promised land, and you will get it when you walk by faith, but I've already given it to you. This is a concept in throughout scripture of walking by faith. This is what it looks like to walk by faith. When God promises some things, he's already given us those things. We just have to walk into them by faith. It takes faith to do that, though. I'll give you an example in the natural. Last Sunday after church, my family, we drove down to Arkansas, and I was going to see a concert with one of my daughters down there at the Walmart amphitheater thing. It was a beautiful venue, beautiful night, and all that type of stuff. We were driving down there. But months earlier, I had bought these tickets. And they were like, and I'd never done this before, but I bought them online, and it was like one of those where somebody is like reselling them and transferring them over to you. And I didn't know how all this worked. And so we paid for the tickets, and then I get an email that says, your tickets haven't been released yet. They will be, but it might not even be until the day before the concert that you'll get them. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, I don't know how this, like, I've gotta wait to see if I get these tickets. I mean, months. We're gonna have to plan a trip. We're gonna be, you know, getting a hotel room. We're gonna be, you know, rearranging our week around this thing. And so I'm like, I don't know, like, I was like, am I getting scammed here? Like, what's going on? And so we've got the money out of the bank account, but we have no tickets. And so weeks and weeks go by, and we're like, well, I guess we're just gonna have to trust it's gonna happen. And so we are, you know, researching hotels and get a hotel room, and we've got a lot of money out now, and I still don't have any tickets. And finally, after like a long, long time, weeks and weeks and weeks, finally I get an email or something that says, here's your tickets. And so they give them to me, virtual tickets. And I'm like, well, okay, how do I print these off? And they're like, you can't. You're just gonna have to trust that your phone works when you get there. And I'm like, so I'm chatting with people online saying, is there any way I can print these off? Like, so I can have a backup? Like, just in case my phone doesn't work? They're like, no, put it in your wallet, it'll be fine. And I'm like, you've got to be, so I'm driving down. We're driving down. I'm thinking, this is going to be horrible if I spend all this money, get all the way there. And so we show up and we get in line. The line is literally miles long to get into this concert. Like, we're standing in line for like well over an hour going through this thing. And I've just got my phone, and my battery's charged. I'm hoping that it works. And we're in, like, you know, thousands and thousands of people finally get through all the security, come up to it, and this lady just has a little thing that my phone is just to tap the phone, you know, or to tap the reader. And so I take my phone and I tap the reader, and I'm like, this is where it all is. And finally, success, they let us in. And I was like, you've got, that is such a faith process for me to put all that money out there just on the hope that I stand in this long line, drive hours to get here, just to get in the concert. Listen, that's sometimes what it's like to follow after God. Sometimes all you got is an order number. You don't have the tickets in hand. You can't even print them off. You just got to walk all the way. You got to stand in line. You got to wait it out. You got to go all the way through the process, not even knowing if your phone is going to work until you get up there. And then when they tap the phone on the reader, then it's like, okay, God, I need you to come through. Because there's some things that God has given. We had the tickets, we just didn't have the tickets. We just had to trust God that we had them. God has some things that you will receive. He's already given you things that you will receive. That's faith. Well, the 10 spies in the book of Numbers didn't get this. See, God had given them the promised land. They hadn't received it yet, but they needed to walk into it. But they came back, you know, a generation earlier. Remember, this is the first round. Numbers 13:27. They come back and they give Moses a report, and they said, "We came to the land which you sent us, and it flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit." And they brought back some of the spoils. However, whenever you get into the however territory, you're out of faith land, okay? They said, "Yeah, it looks good. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified. They're very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in that country. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan." But Caleb, remember, Joshua and Caleb, they were the two. He quieted the people before Moses and said, "Come on, guys, let us go up at once. We can occupy it. We're well able to do this." And then the men who'd gone up with them said, "We're not well able to do this. This is not what we see. They're stronger than we are." And so they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we've gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." God had already given them the promised land. They just needed to walk into it by faith, but those 10 spies forfeited their promised land without even a fight. They forfeited their promised land without even putting up a fight. I remember when I was younger, I played baseball, and I thought I was good because they put me like way out in right field, and I thought it's because I had a good arm or something. I didn't know much about baseball back then, and so didn't see a lot of action, but that was when I got to play. But I remember, and it was in a town of 400 people in the total town. And so I rode the bench even. That's the story of my life. At least I thought it was. I remember one game, we didn't have enough players or something like that. We showed up and we had to forfeit the game. And listen, I wasn't even into baseball. I'm barely on the team anyway. But I was so mad that I remember being so mad that we forfeited that game, because I was like, I know we're probably going to get beat anyway, but it just irked me that we gave it to him without even fighting for it, you know? That's the way some of us are in our lives. We're giving the enemy stuff without even putting up a fight, without even walking by faith. Here's the question for us. Are there areas of my life that the enemy is winning without even having a fight? Have I just surrendered certain areas of my life because of doubt or fear, discomfort? I've just grown comfortable in the way that it is. I kind of got like the children of Israel who for 40 years got used to the way it is. And then God says, "Hey, it's time to change." I'm like, I don't know. Listen, there are things that God has already given us by faith. We just have to access them. Give you an example. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have access to the Spirit of God, which means you have access to the fruit of the Spirit of God, which means that peace is not far from you. Joy is not far from you. Love is not far from you. Self-control, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, all of these things are not far from you. He has already given them to you. We're not waiting on the fruit of the Spirit to show up in our lives. We're waiting on us yielding to the fruit of the Spirit that's already there. Authority. God's given you authority. Just because he's already given it doesn't mean you're accessing it by faith. See, there's some things that God has set aside for you, but you've got to walk into by faith. Think about this very room that you're sitting in right now. This building that we're in right now was built in 2006. Do you know when we started the church? 2006. This room, we didn't take over this space until late 2012 or early 2013 is when we were renovating it. This room that you're sitting in sat empty from 2006 until we renovated it and had our first events here. I remember thinking back then, it's almost like God had just set this room apart. And it was just waiting for us this whole time. The very first thing that happened in this room was we did worship and baptisms. How many of you guys, some of you guys were there for that, worship baptisms in here. It was the very first thing we did here. There's some things that God has set aside. That piece of land that we just bought has just been sitting there with some cows on it, waiting for a group of people who would have enough faith to walk into it and build an altar of worship and a lighthouse for a community to find Jesus. It's just been waiting. God's just set it aside. Now, again, many of us have gone through that, one of those move vision nights. And you know how much the story I'm talking about in the story of Joshua and the Israelites parallels our story right now. But I believe it also parallels where a lot of us are in our lives. And so what I want to do is I want to catch some of you guys up. If you missed one of those nights, I want to give you a summary version, about 6 minutes, a summary version of where we are as a church and what we're getting ready to do as a church, of how we're gonna step into our promised land and so to start walking in that and what it's gonna take for us to do it. I'll throw some numbers at you, some practical things as well, but here's what it's gonna take for us to walk into our promised land. Let's watch. In Numbers chapter 13, Moses sends out 12 spies to spy out the land that God had promised them. 10 of them come back with a doubting report of fear. All they could see is giants and walls. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back with faith in their hearts. And they said, we see milk and honey. We see opportunity. Well, because many of them doubted and they believed and trusted in the 10, a generation missed their moment and they wandered around in the wilderness and missed God's plans for them in their day. Well, we stand before an opportunity as a church where we have an opportunity to step into our promised land. The question is, are we going to be like the 10 or are we going to be like the 2? And that's what the MOVE initiative is all about. We believe that one moment in the presence of God can change everything. And we've seen it happen time and time again. Over the years, we've seen hundreds and hundreds of people saved and baptized. We've seen breakthroughs. We've seen miracles. We've sent out missionaries. We've been a blessing to the nations and to our local community right here at home. And we've done all of this without having a permanent facility to call our own. And so we believe now's the time to change that if we want to impact this community for generations to come. So MOVE is a 2-year generosity initiative where we want to accomplish a couple things. The first thing we're calling Momentum in Our Now. That's really just an invitation for those of us who are faithful in giving and serving and growing in groups to continue to be faithful in those areas, because we don't want to miss out on what God is doing now as we're waiting for what's coming next. But it's also an invitation for those of us who maybe are on the sidelines to say, now's the time to jump in and invest in what God is doing in this church, in Journey Church, right here and right now. Momentum in Our Next is the second component of the MOVE initiative, where we want to raise $3 million. That $3 million, combined with our existing cash and our lending partners, is going to help offset a projected $11 million cost to put a 500-seat auditorium on our brand new land. We were recently able to secure almost 44 acres of land in a prime location that has a God story attached to it. We were able to get that for $1.2 million. And if you know anything about land in this area, you know that's a God story. And here's the good news. Because of your faithful giving and our faithful stewardship, we were able to pay for that land in cash. We own it free and clear. So that takes that $11 million giant and brings it down to around $10 million. But that's not the end of the story. Because of your faithful giving and because of our faithful stewardship, we were able to save and set aside an additional $1 million to be ready for this project. But that's not the end of the story. Because of your faithful giving, many of you guys have sacrificed over the years for our building fund, and that has almost $1 million into it. So that takes that $11 million down to around $8 million, and that's where we sit today. So our hope is to raise $3 million and cover the rest in lending and accomplish this big God-sized dream. And we believe we can do it, but we gotta do it together. Recently, we were able to sit down with some people in our church who were able to share how excited they were about what God is doing next, and here's what they had to say.
I'm really excited about our church putting down deep roots in the community and just seeing the vision of the generational impact that will happen.
The uncommon stewardship integrity that our leadership team has really put our church in an uncommon situation.
To be able to hear Pastor Sean and Pastor Aaron talk about that good stewardship of it and then the blessings that can come from that. I mean, just looking at this raw land, it's exciting.
When I heard Pastor Sean talking about challenging us to come out of a season of playing it safe and coming into a new season of really just adventure with God, taking risks with God, and I'm excited how the church as a whole is gonna step into that.
Just hearing the stories behind how God is orchestrating everything that's happening, and that there are miracles attached to the land, there are miracles attached to the growth as a church family, and I'm just thrilled to be a part of it.
It's so cool to hear about the miracles that have already happened during this start of the process, and to hear that the church will be walking in a miracle together to finish this.
We've been here since 2008. We've seen the beautiful growth of Journey Church, and we're excited to see more growth.
Being able to bless our children and grandchildren and making this sacrifice where it's not just all about us and not just all about right now, but it's about how we can bless our family and the future generations of believers.
And we really believe Journey Church is a place where God moves and God speaks, and we're just really excited to see what he's going to do with this next generation.
I'm excited that the new location being right off of 435, it's very connected and can really expand the reach of people we don't even know yet.
I'm really excited for a stable church home that we know that this is where we'll be able to be. And if we need to expand, we can stay there and the community will know we're not leaving. Just a greater capacity to serve our children and the community around us.
We believe God is up to something big at Journey Church, and we want you to be a part of it. We're trusting God to move through his people over the next 2 years to invest $3 million to make this dream a reality. But here's what it's gonna take from all of us. Number one, it's gonna take everybody all in. This is really a discipleship moment for us as a church to grow in true generosity, to grow in our giving, and to grow in our faith. It's gonna take everybody all in to do that. It's a formation moment for us. We want to eradicate consumer Christianity in our church. So we want everybody all in. Number two, it's going to take everybody giving generously. This is not about equal amounts. It's about equal sacrifice. This is big. It's going to take extreme generosity. And number three, it's going to take all of us stepping out by faith. You see, if we want a big God story, we got to take a leap and trust God big. My family's ready to go. We want to invite you to be a part of what God is doing in the next season of Journey Church. Come on, it's time to move.
Yeah, let's go. It's time to move. That's essentially what God was saying to Joshua as he gets to Joshua chapter 6. And Joshua begins to see Jericho, the city that they're supposed to take. In verse 1, it says, "Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and its mighty men of valor.'" He's basically presenting a question to Joshua. And here's the question: will I surrender to God's plan by faith, or will I forfeit to the enemy out of fear? Will I surrender to God's plan by faith, or forfeit to the enemy out of fear? Do you know, and if you're facing a similar situation like that in your life, do you know the difference, one of the main differences between whether you will surrender to God's plan by faith or forfeit to the enemy by fear? Here's one of the main differences. The difference is in what you choose to see. He tells Joshua, he asks Joshua, he says, "See." Well, what did Joshua see in the natural? In the natural, he saw walls, bricks, giants, impossibilities. But how many of you guys know that in God's perspective, which God's perspective is all that matters, in God's perspective, walls and giants equal freedom, safety and security equals bondage. And it's important for us to take on God's perspective, and he tells Joshua to see. And he's not asking Joshua to see from the natural eye. He's asking him to see what God sees through the eye of faith. And I believe God is asking you and me to choose what we see today. What do you see in your situation today? What do you see in your marriage today? What do you see in your family today? What do you see in your business today? What is it that you see? Not what you see in the natural, but is there a way that I can somehow connect with the flow of God and what God is seeing in my situation, what God sees in my marriage, what God sees in my life, what God sees in our church? And if I can find that perspective and hook up with what God sees, now I'm going someplace. What do you see? Because what you see matters. And for Joshua, God asks him, he had to see something before he saw something. See, for us, if we want breakthrough in our life, we want to walk by faith, we have to see what God has already given to us that we will walk into. We have to see something before we see something. That's walking by faith. But in order to do that, he had to surrender his fear, he had to surrender his agenda, he had to surrender his will, he had to surrender what he naturally saw, he had to surrender how he thought, he may have to surrender the opinions of other people in order to take on God's perspective. But the difference is in your perspective. Let's go back. Remember what the 10 spies said? You go back a generation earlier. Let's find out what they said again. Remind ourselves. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we've gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants." That's what they saw. That's the only thing they could see. "And all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers." So in their minds, they even exaggerated it even more. "Now we look like little grasshoppers compared to them." And they made another mistake. They assumed what the enemy even saw about them. They said, "And so we seem to them." It was all about what they saw. So it caused them to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. They missed their destiny. Most of them died off. They could have been like these people through which the goodness of God would come and bless a people and a nation and the world from in that moment. But instead, that generation, instead of becoming conquerors, they become known throughout all of history as the great complainers. But Joshua evidently saw things differently. He and Caleb, when they got this report, they tried to talk the people out of their fear and into their faith. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 6, it says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, they tore their clothes," which I guess is a way of trying to get everybody's attention, right? Like, "Hey guys, come on, this is horrible." "And they said to all the congregation of the people of Israel," they said, "Guys, the land which we passed through to spy it out, it's an exceedingly good land. Change what you see about it. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, the land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people in the land, for they are bread to us." See, the other people were saying, "We're like grasshoppers." And he's like, "No, they're like bread to us. They're like bread to us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us, and do not fear." And then all the congregation said, "You're right. We should have thought of..." No, that's not what they said at all. Are you reading ahead? Like some of you get... They're just stoning them, right? They're trying to throw rocks at them. They couldn't get past their own perspective. And I wondered, I was like, man, what happened to those original 10? What happened to the original 10? They're dead by the end of this chapter. They died with plague before the Lord by the end of the chapter. Their perspective led to death. And here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that perspectives are chosen. Perspectives are chosen. Perspectives aren't concrete. They are not absolute. Perspectives are the way we decide to view what's real. Somebody needs to hear that today. Perspectives are chosen. You see, every one of those spies, they had an opportunity to choose their perspective. And perspectives are chosen, and their perspectives led them on a path. See, you have to surrender, you have to surrender to God's perspective in order to walk into what he's already given you. Let me say that again. If you want to walk in to what God has already given you, you have to surrender to God's perspective in order to walk in to what he's already given to you. If you choose to stay in your perspective, you will never walk into what God has already given. We as a church, we have to choose to surrender to God's perspective instead of our natural inclinations. In our individual lives, we have to choose God's perspective. So let me ask you a question. When you look at the world, what do you see? I talked about how many of us, we talk about how we want to see revival. When you look at the world out there and you want to see revival, when you look at the world, what do you see? Do you see darkness? Of course, we can say, yeah, there's darkness. There's a fallen world, right? But when you look at people who don't know Jesus, what do you see? Do you see them as an enemy? Because your particular tribe told you to? I'm talking about people who don't know Jesus. Yes, there's darkness. Yes, there's a fallen world. But what do you see? Do you see them as an enemy? Or do you see them through God's perspective that these people could be potential brothers and sisters in Christ sitting next to me? How do you see? Some of us need a heart transplant. Because our eyes are not seeing from God's perspective. Yes, there's darkness. Yes, there's a fallen world. But what do we see? Can we see through the eye of faith? Do we have a vision for the lost to actually be saved? What do we see? See, trying on a new perspective changes your path. It changes your destiny. It changes the way you look at people. It changes the way you interact with people. It changes the way you pray for people. What do you see? Let me ask you another kind of interesting question for us. Those of us who want to, you know, we believe we're supposed to be part of a local church. What if Journey Church was the only church in the Northland? We're not. We're part of a rich body of Christ in this area, and we're so thankful to be connected to the body of Christ in this area. But as a thought exercise, what if Journey Church were the only church in the Northland? Would that change our involvement? Would that change our urgency? Would that change our expectation? I mean, if we're the only church, man, we better get after it. This is our task now. You see, sometimes we can be lulled to sleep by perspectives. But if you can change your perspective, it changes your path. What if you were the only Christian in the Northland? Would it change anything? See, it's helpful sometimes for us to just change a perspective that changes our path. If you were the only Christian in the Northland and you knew, man, this is on me. I've got to cooperate with God's purpose and plan for this city. See, perspectives change everything. That's why we want to eradicate consumer Christianity in our church. Do you know why? Because consumer Christianity, this idea that I just show up to church, get what I need, don't invest, don't serve, don't give, not part of the body, disconnected, lone ranger mentality of the church, it is killing the church at large. It's killing our church. It's killing the church in the United States, this consumer Christianity. So you know what it means? It means we have to be all in to lock arms together to say, I'm going to be a part of the body of Christ. I'm going to stop skipping around and just picking and choosing, and I'm going to lock into the parts that are hard, to the parts that are uncomfortable, to the parts that make me rearrange my schedule and my life and my comfort. I'm going to be a part of the local church. You know why? Because consumer Christianity is totally unbiblical. And yet so many of us are giving ourselves a pass because everybody else does it. But when we look at Scripture, it resembles, our lives look nothing like the Scriptures. And we need a perspective change if we are to walk in God's purposes and plans for our lives. And by the way, consumer Christianity is destroying the larger church, but it's actually stealing things from you as well, undetected many times. It's eroding your soul. It really is. And so it's one thing for you to be for what's happening, what God is doing in the world. It's another thing for you to consecrate yourself, to be a part of it, to sacrifice, to invest, to grow, to give, to go, to be a part, to pray. That's totally different. Like there's too many cheerleaders in the body of Christ and not enough people consecrated. Too many people, I'm all for what's happening, but too few people are actually consecrated. And this is a call. When I'm calling you to this MOVE initiative, this is not about just us moving onto land. This is an opportunity for us as believers to walk into a deeper discipleship moment with God. For us to make a decision that I'm not going to be a sideline Christian anymore, because sideline Christianity is unbiblical. That I'm going to be on the front lines with what God is doing. Because here's what I've noticed. I've noticed that people who pray for people to be healed tend to see more people healed than those who don't. I've noticed that people who are involved in the local church tend to reap the benefits of community and the purposes of God and the plans of God a whole lot more than people who don't. It's just basic stuff. And so we're inviting you to be a part of what's going on. But I want you to understand that it's going to take faith for you to do this. And as we prepare our hearts to receive communion today, I'm going to read one last scripture to you. Hebrews 11:1, this is out of the Amplified Version. It says this. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. See, walking by faith, sometimes with God, you just get an order number. You get a confirmation number. And God has already given you some things, but you have to walk forward in faith until you see the fulfillment of them. And when we come to the table of communion, part of that is what communion is all about. Because Jesus on the cross, when we talk about the blood of Jesus being spilled for us and the body being broken for us, do you know what he said on the cross? He said, it is finished. That means that Jesus has already done some stuff. But do you know what? We have an opportunity by faith to access what Jesus has already done. To access the goodness of God, to surrender our life to God, to have this great exchange of our life for his, to repent of sin and to have our sins be washed away. See, he's already paid for all of that. It's paid in full. He's already given us everything that we need, but we have to access it by faith. Walking by faith means that our actions start lining up with what we say we believe. And here's what I also want you to know before we receive communion. Both faith and fear require surrender. If you want to walk by fear, you've got to surrender some things to do that. If you want to walk by faith, you've got to surrender some things to do that. Both faith and fear require surrender. The question is, to who will I surrender? And as we come to the table today, what we're reminding ourselves of is that we come to the cross and we say, I surrender all to Jesus. My allegiance belongs to Jesus. I'm not surrendering to fear. I'm going to walk by faith. And so would you stand up with me as we prepare to do that? I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And then I'm going to ask you almost a contradictory question. What do you see? When you look at your life, when you look at what God is doing in your life, in this church, in your family, in your marriage, what do you see? Not in the natural, but what do you see through the eye of faith? God, would you give us a vision of what you see? So that we can yield to your perspective and surrender by faith to what you see in our lives. Lord, as we hook up our faith with yours, we're reminded of all that you've done for us, that you've done everything that you need to do on your end. And we surrender to that right now as we prepare our hearts to take the juice, which represents the blood that was spilled on the cross that day, and the cracker that represents the body that was broken. We're reminded that not only are we saved and set free, but we also have a pathway to healing, to walking in freedom. So Lord, today I pray that you would open up our eyes to be able to see what you see. In Jesus' name. There's a table in the back, tables in front. Come and take the elements, receive during this song at your seat.